Do you find that your days are disappearing quickly into not just months, but years? With 2014 pressing hard upon us, now is the time to get ready. Today on Scandia Bible Church Podcast, Elder Keith Barker opens the Bible and teaches that Paul gives us four steps to follow to ensure that we have a good new year. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, December 29th, 2013. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Keith Barker as he delivers his message entitled, How to Excel in the New Year.
Well, this is an interesting time of the year right now. Christmas is a few days behind us. The door is closed to Christmas. And, my illustration breaks down if this door is open, because it's not 2014 yet. This is the 2014 door. Okay, now that's better. So we haven't gotten to 2014 yet. That happens this Wednesday, incidentally. So it's an interesting place to be, an interesting time to speak here in the middle. And first, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. We're at the cusp, at the threshold of a brand new year, and I'm excited about the possibilities of what's going to happen this coming year. We're going to be in the book of Philippians this morning, Philippians chapter 3. I think God has great plans for you and your family and for our little church. I'm sure we could all say that there were some days during 2013 that were a little bit tough. They were trying and testing days, but good news is we get to start a brand new life this Wednesday, a new year. Fresh goals and plans. Some people make New Year's resolutions. You know what the number one New Year's resolution is? What is that? Lose weight is the number one New Year's resolution, and that generally lasts until about the second week of January. So my New Year's resolution is I'm going to have more fun on the farm with the children and my tractor this year than I did last year. You say, well, that's a strange resolution. Hey, you make yours the way you want. I'll make mine the way I want. I was thinking this morning, a beautiful sunny afternoon, I'd finished the work in the upper field with the tractor, my lovely green tractor, and I had about five little children running around me. Tractor girl wasn't with me that day. Clayton wasn't there. These were all little ones. Emma was there. Nolan was there. These were all little ones, and I wanted to bring the tractor down from the upper field. And the safest way when you've got that many little children running around is have them on the tractor, I've learned. So I stop and invite them in there. Oh, yeah, we want to ride in the tractor. So Nolan is on the back by the backhoe, and someone else is back there. Emma was standing here by the steering wheels. I mean, I don't know. And we're going dead slow across the field. I'm trying to make sure everybody is. And then Emma got a phone call on her little cell phone. Or maybe it was a girl that was with you. Got a phone call. And I could tell she was having trouble hearing because she was trying to talk over the diesel. So I shut the tractor off, and there we sat, all five or six of us. Beautiful sunny afternoon while Emma took care of whatever important piece of business that was. And it wasn't a short piece of business. There was times of talking, and there were long spells of listening. But I thought, you know, life doesn't get a lot better than this, Keith. Sunny day. Bunch of little children. Work is done. I've got tremendous patience in those situations. I feel wonderfully blessed of God to have the opportunity to do that. Well, some people decide that they're going to give up smoking for the new year, or perhaps give up drinking. And there's a story of a pastor who was finishing up rather vigorously his sermon on temperance. And with great fervor, he says, if I had all the beer in the world, I would take it down and pour it to the river. And the congregation said, amen, pastor. And he said, if I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it down and I'd pour it in the river. And the congregation said, amen, pastor. Then he said, if I had all the whiskey and all the demon rum in the world, I would take it down and pour it in the river. And the congregation said, hallelujah, pastor. Then the pastor sat down. The song leader stood up and he said, if you please open your song books to hymn number 365, we'll sing, Shall We Gather at the River? Couldn't pass that up. It's just an awfully cute story. So, but whatever your goals are for 2014, Paul here in Philippians 3 mentions four steps on how to have a wonderful new year. And I'm going to read all of chapter 13 of Philippians. I begin Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those manipulators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain to the resurrection from the dead. And then the particular section that we'll be developing today, beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brethren, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, for your holy word, timeless, I give you thanks. And this morning, I ask that you might, by the movement of your Spirit, touch hearts, that this time will have some eternal value for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm going to suggest that you can have the best year of your life in 2014. How? Well, first, avoid a prideful attitude. We read in 3:12, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. It's been said that pride is the religion of hell. Paul is saying that although he was perhaps the smartest man in the world at that time, he still had room to grow. Paul was used, of course, to write much of the New Testament. He had special revelations from God. He'd even had a vision of heaven and returned to tell us about it. He says, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he'd met Christ, the resurrected Christ, on the road to Damascus. He knew various languages, well-educated in the Old Testament scriptures. When he came to Christ, he went into the desert for 3 years so that God could train him for his future ministry as the greatest church planter and missionary and theologians that has ever existed. That little section there is debated by some. The 3 years is debated. You'll find it in Galatians 1, 17 and 18. And yet Paul says that he still realizes that he didn't know it all, and he wanted to grow in his life. He wanted to grow closer to God and closer to his fellow Christians. It would have been easy for Paul to say, hey, I'm Paul. Smart guy, been there, done that. Let somebody else take the lead. I'm just going to sit back. He said, look, I'm the smartest guy in the world. I don't need to learn more about God. He could have reasoned that he was above everyone else, but Paul knew there was room in his life to grow. Never get to the place where you think you've arrived, that you think you're better than someone else because of your position or your house or your car, your education, your age, or your tractor. Have you ever been humbled by God? If you have been humbled by God, your life changed, and it'll never be the same. If you haven't been humbled by God, you've never been humbled. Allow me to give an illustration the best I could come up with. Children, you've all seen calves, beautiful little calves. I don't know how old they are when they're that big, but this one's a beautiful black and white calf. One day the farmer loaded he and all of his fellow calves onto a cattle truck and took him to town where they were having a rodeo. Put them all in a corral behind the arena. And then the cowboy came back and said to all the calves, I need a calf that can run really fast. And our little black and white calf said, oh, choose me, choose me, choose me. Can you picture him doing that with him? So he got chosen and he thought, boy, am I special. The rest of them, they have to stay there. I'm going out to the arena where all these people are. The cowboy put him in a chute and told him, now when that door opens, I want you to run as fast as you can because all these people will be watching. So he says, he put his foot back so he could really, really launch out, you know. And so the doors to the chute open and he takes off running as fast as he can. He gets out there a little ways and he says, what's the big horse doing chasing me? Nobody said anything about a horse. Suddenly, out of the sky falls a rope around in front of him and around his neck. And the other end of that rope is tied to the horse's saddle. And that horse locks up his brakes. And that little calf goes from a full run to a dead stop like that. Have you ever seen it? You go, oh! Well, sometimes their body keeps going, but the head stops. So then he falls down, and the cowboy comes over and unceremoniously drops a knee in his back and ties all his feet together. Meanwhile, the stupid horse is tightening this rope and dragging him slowly across the arena. You ever been humbled by God? That calf will never volunteer to run out of the chute again. And if you've been humbled by God, you can understand when God puts you down like that, facing the dirt, your life changes. We all stand in need of God's hand upon us. And if we get proud, we ought to be proud of what God has done in our life, not what we've done. We can do nothing, nothing without Christ. He keeps our hearts beating from moment to moment and opens doors for us. And yet Paul said that he was the least of all apostles. What a statement. He's saying that Peter, James, and John are more powerful in the Lord than I am. Yet they never accomplished what Paul did. He knew where his strength came from. And so we need to guard against prideful attitude that will keep us from excelling in the new year. Avoiding a prideful attitude. And our second point, it usually takes a lifetime to realize that we really don't know much about life. The more we know, the more we know that we really don't know. At Bible college, it's interesting when the freshman class comes in, room full of freshmen, the professor asks a question, you'll get various students raising their hand. I know that. I learned that at church. 4 years later, when they're seniors, same group, you ask a question. Yeah, there's different ways of looking at that. That's complicated. You see, the students leave humbled and in awe of a God that they will never be able to fully understand. That kind of humble attitude keeps one wanting to grow and learn more because We know we can learn from others. I'm still learning from Clayton and Tractor Girl at the farm. You can learn from everyone. And thank God, for he will be with us this next year as he was with the past year. So next, we want to, for a successful year, we want to forget the past. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. So another key to excelling this year is to forget your past. Leave it with God. So often we remember our mistakes and our failures in the past year, and we feel like we failed. Perhaps you failed God a few times this past year, and we will likely make a few mistakes this coming year. When we make mistakes, we need to remember that God is a God of forgiveness. He came to seek and to save the lost. That's you and that's me. Of course, the devil will take every opportunity, he being the accuser of the brethren, to say, you did that, and you call yourself a Christian, and you do that. He likes to take those sins that God has completely done away with and bring them back. They'll only hurt us if we allow them to. If we've confessed those past sins, he's forgiven you. He'll never bring them up again. He's willing to provide atonement for everything we've done in the past year. Brand new start in 2014. So as 2013 falls away, it's good to remember that God is a God of forgiveness. Some people use those little desk calendars, you know. You write what you're going to do, and then when that day is over, you just pull that page off and call it up, and you say, that's it, I'm done with that day. Starting fresh. And that's the way it is with God. Confess your sins, go forward, brand new year. Just like throwing away a scrap of paper, it's a day gone by. So we can start fresh in 2014. And aren't you glad that God is a God of forgiveness? Scripture says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And of course, children, you've memorized 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all we have to do is agree with God and acknowledge our sins, and he washes them as white as snow. Don't try to excuse them, just confess them. Ask God for his power to overcome them the next time the temptation comes to you. Maybe you hurt someone this year. Just leave it with God. Don't become bitter. Maybe someone hurt you. Being bitter only makes you miserable to be around. Don't say, boy, I'll get that person if it's the last thing I do. It very well may be, because hatred and bitterness is physically and emotionally damaged. Leave it in God's hand. Let God take care of it. Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Next strategy for a successful new year, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I use that verse repeatedly on the boat with my crew boys. You can't and won't be at peace with all men all the time. But Paul's saying, as much as lieth in you, to the best of your ability, live at peace with everyone. When I was in California, Morro Bay, preparing the missionary sailing schooner to go to the South Pacific, Russ and Artis's son Dan came down with a friend of his, Darren Cundiff. They both graduated from Bremerton Christian. They were both about 18. So Dan chose a bunk in the salon amidships for his. Darren chose the port stateroom bunk, a little more private. And we lived that way and worked getting the boat ready. And then the primary builder of the boat, the gentleman who started the ministry, invited a man that he knew to come and join us on the sail from California to Hawaii. So this man came aboard, and he went in the port stateroom, and he told Darren, get all your things out of here. You're moving up to the forecastle. I'm taking over the port stateroom. Darren wasn't happy. what can he do? He's an 18-year-old kid. Here's a man telling him. So, with a bad attitude, Darren moved up to the forecastle. Not nice in the forecastle. Stacked bunks. And on a boat, this is the pointy end, on a boat it goes through the water like this. You don't want to live in the forecastle. I've done that. I did a trip to Hawaii in a 53-footer in the forecastle. Bounce, 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 bounce. You want to live in the back where the captain is. Well, Darren was amidships, and it was pretty decent there, but he got moved up to the forecastle. This man moved into Darren's bunk. Well, I was doing an engine test one day, and right over this bunk in the port stateroom was a big one-inch hydraulic line going up to the windlass. And as I brought the RPMs up and increased the pressure, suddenly that line split and showered that bunk. Pillow, blankets, and the clothing was there. Sprayed it down with hydraulic fluid. And Darren said, "Yes, there is a God." Yeah. I'll bet he remembers it to this day. Romans 12:19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." That's a funny little story, but it sure teaches that truth. "Therefore, and if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire in his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." So maybe you failed to achieve a dream this past year. You need to try it again. You're never a failure unless you quit. You might have been knocked down, but you weren't knocked out. And we get a brand new chance starting Wednesday, new year. God will help you accomplish that dream when you put God first and have faith in Him. Move forward in faith and forget the past. It's like water under a bridge. Brand new year to celebrate and look forward. Remember the story of Thomas Edison. When Edison was seeking to invent the electric light bulb, he didn't get it right the first time. He didn't throw his arms up and say, "That's it, I'm done, didn't work, let's move on to something else." No. When it didn't work the first time, Edison made a note of exactly what he'd done and what components he had used. Then he made an adjustment to the experiment. He tried again. When that failed, he made a note of that, readjusted, and tried again. He kept learning from every experiment. He learned all the ways that it wouldn't work. He discovered all the chemicals and the elements that wouldn't work. And each time he found a way that it wouldn't work, he knew he was closer to finding the way that would work. And they say it took him approximately 10,000 experiments to invent the perfect setup for the electric light bulb, but aren't we glad that he did? There was a lot of learning to go through. There was no internet he could reference, of course, no computers. Couldn't read a book. No one had ever done it before. He had to simply plug away, failing and learning until he and his men worked out the right way to do it. So the point being this: failure is a part of life, children. We should, interestingly enough, seek out failure. We should delight in it. Some of the most creative ideas are often found in the shadow of the most unworkable and crazy ideas. Ever had a crazy idea? Don't give up on it. Children, don't be afraid of getting something wrong. Story of a pastor on the East Coast, large church. One Sunday morning, the President of the United States came to his church. He wanted to honor the President. I forget which president it was, and I forget who the pastor was, but it doesn't matter to my story. So at the beginning of the service, the pastor said, "Mr. President, would you please rise and begin our service in prayer?" He'd heard that president give many speeches. The president stood and he stumbled and stammered clumsily, haltingly, through a prayer, and everyone in the congregation was embarrassed for the president. At the back door after the service, the pastor shook his hand and said, "Mr. President, please accept my apology. I should have told you ahead of time that you could have prepared. The president replied, "Please call on me often. I'll only improve by doing it again and again." There is no wrong. There's only a lesson in how not to do it. And that lesson is priceless. When we were anchored in little harbors of the South Pacific, I used the failings of other captains to teach my crew boys lessons. You see what he's doing wrong? How should he have done that? Do you see the danger there? I called those freebies. We didn't have to go through it. We learned by others' mistakes. And our talented children with their musical instruments, you don't get a piece beautifully the first time you go through it, do you? Nope. Oops, you got to make an adjustment. Nothing is ever lost by failure, and yet unless you allow it to be lost. Don't accept defeat lightly. Every evening's followed by a new morning. So next, we should remember the rest of your life is the best of your life. Paul said in 3:13, "And reaching forth unto those things which are before." Paul pursued the work of God in his life with commitment and energy, and he forgot that last year, what was behind. He said, "God's going to bless us in the future here with great opportunities and accomplishments." And remember, he's writing this from a Roman prison. He's excited about what's coming, and here he is in prison. He's saying that it might look dark now, but that God would use him again in the future. Children, you know what to do when you get lemons, right? Of course, you make lemonade. Your future is as bright as the promises of God. You may have had a wonderful life up until this year, but always remember, if you're still here through 2014, God has a purpose for you. And he has a work for you to accomplish. Look forward to every day as a gift from God, as indeed it is. Take time to see the sunrise. Look at the stars at night. I saw the planet Jupiter hanging right over there, over Lamola last week. How cool is that? Life is quickly passing us by, and I want to enjoy every step along the way. Might I add that everyone should have a kitty. Guard against destination disease. That's a disease that robs you of the blessings of today. We get caught up in the destination and the goal, and we forget that most of life is just the normal things of life. I graduated from Bible school with a nice lady, Roberta Beck. She told me of a trip she took to Thailand. As she checked into the hotel, the clerk said, "You must take the tour bus, it's really outstanding." So the next morning, she and a bunch of other tourists got on the tour bus. All the way they went out of town, grinding up through in the country, up this crooked, windy old road, round and round they went up through this canyon. Oh, will we ever get there? Well, when they got to the top, all there was a turnaround. She said, "What? We went through all of that for this?" They said, no. It was the gorgeous marble canyon. It's unique in the world. It was the canyon you came to see. Oh, you see, we get destination disease. We forget to appreciate what's happening around us now. Enjoy every day as a gift of God. Always look for the beauty around you. You have to take a vacation or go to a Bible conference to make yourself happy. You're going to be unhappy most of your life. Those are special occasions. Enjoy every day that God gives you. Enjoy the birds singing. They're God's little reminders that he's going to provide everything that you need. If he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you in 2014. I watched a little squirrel playing. I like squirrels. They're pretty. I love the way they chirp and lift their tails up and jump around. And my friend Ranger Cat brought one home to be his friend. Turned him loose in my bedroom, and they had such a good time running around. I finally threw a towel over the little squirrel, and the ungrateful little rodent bit me. Anyway, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, or what nor put on your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and your body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Amen to that. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God's saying, just live one day at a time and look forward to the rest of your life as the best of your life. Again, this Wednesday, 2014. Don't know how we ever got here, but get ready. Here it comes. I don't allow my age to keep me from moving forward into each day with excitement. I remember that a lot of kids that I graduated with, North Kitsap High School in 1961, are already on the bottom side of the grass. Some of them have been there for a long time. Every day is a gift. I realize that more and more as I get older. So lastly, have a great new year. Pursue God's will diligently. Philippians 3:14, Paul says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. God made you for a purpose. God was planning you before your parents even knew each other. So now it's time to decide. Are you going to put God first? Do what he has planned for you? Paul explains that he was pursuing God with all of his heart and energy. One day, life on earth will come to an end, and only what's done for Christ will last, of course. And you'll be glad in glory that you spent your time seeking to serve and glorify the Lord Jesus. You've been gifted with time and talents and treasure. Use it for the glory of the Lord. 1973, I attended a little Bible college in the coast of Oregon, Cannon Beach. School's called Ecola Hall. Bible conferences were going on at the same time. Mrs. McNeil, who was the founder and executive director of the Cannon Beach Conference Center, drafted me out of the Bible school class to MC on the weekends, meals and meetings. Did that for a couple of years. Got to work with this godly lady who has touched certainly tens of thousands of lives for the Lord, perhaps hundreds of thousands of lives. Mentored many young people, including myself. And in her last month of her life, she asked me to drive her over the hill to Portland to her brother's house. Passed away shortly thereafter. And this godly woman, right in the last days of her life, said, I regret that I didn't do more for the Lord. I regret that I didn't do more for the Lord. Where does that leave you and I? Goodness. We're going to live longer on the other side, folks, than we're going to live on this side. And the best preparation for eternity is to live life today and every day according to the will of God. So I thank God for each of you. Someone paid a price for you that you could enjoy blessings, get a head start in life. Thank God for your parents. They paid a price for you. Thank God for your children and grandchildren. They're God's gifts that you can raise them in respect of God. Thank God for your little church here. who have prayed for you and supported you through troubles and trials. And thank God for God. He paid that ultimate sacrifice for you, died on the cross, shed his blood for your sins. He's your mediator. Brings you back into a right relationship with God when you put your faith and trust in him. But you have to make the decision to come to him. If you're not a Christian, be aware that he's knocking at the door of your life. Wants to be your Lord and Savior. Wants to be your guide. Wants to show you how wonderful life is when you live it each day by faith, walking with him. Open your heart this morning. And that will mean that the year 2014 will be a year that you'll never forget. The year that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Invited him into your heart. So in summary, you can excel during this new year of 2014 by first, avoid pride in your life. Secondly, forget the past. Third, remember that the rest of your life is the best of your life. And fourthly, pursue God's will diligently. And as we remember God in 2013, we can be thankful for directions, protection, and provisions for this past year. And now he's giving us a brand new year. How exciting is that? You know, God's the giver of new things. When you come to Jesus by faith, he gives you a new birth. He puts in your heart a new spirit. And then you have a new nature. And you have a new family, the Church of Jesus Christ. You have a new destiny called heaven. And one day God will say to us, "Behold, I make all things new." We're going to live in a new city, new Jerusalem, new heaven and a new earth. So God's giving us a brand new year. And the old year with its problems and its mistakes and its victories is gone, or nearly so. Last year is behind us. How exciting to begin a fresh new slate. I believe God has great plans for our little church here in 2014. It's going to be a wonderful year. Because I run the cemetery, I'm aware that people that were alive in 2012 aren't alive this year. May the Lord sustain us all through this coming year. Let's live it as though it's the last year that we have. Let's live it for the glory of God. Remember that God is near, he is loving, he is kind, he's patient, he's forgiving. But this year of 2014 may be the last opportunity we'll ever have to live for him. So let's seek to live each day with thankful hearts of praise for the opportunity to live for the glory of God. Let's close in prayer. Father God, what an amazing gift life is. This morning, once again, in awe and wonder, I think of Tara and Dacia as they carry these little miracles within them. Father, for you, as you'll anoint these pregnancies, these deliveries, these precious children. In the years to come, we'll get to see them grow and mature and advanced, and may they at a young age realize that they too are sinners for whom you died. So thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsboro, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.